I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. As usual, we ask you to tell three friends. Think of three friends you could recommend the Box Set Pod to and recommend it to them. Simple as that. And download the Acast app as well. If you haven't done it yet, why not? It's great. And there's recommendations for other podcasts on there as well. It's really good. You can watch and click on the links as we talk about things on the show. So it's well worth doing. Just search Acast in your app store. Welcome to episode 13 of the Box Set Pod. I'm Howell.
I'm Jamie.
And it's nice to have you with us. Will it be lucky 13? It's the Dexter special.
Will Howell infiltrate Dexter's flat in Miami from the show Dexter?
If you haven't seen Dexter, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Every so often, a special Box Set Pod for one reason or another, looking into one box set. This one, Dexter. About Dexter. Dexter is a TV series that was made out of a book. It's about a serial killer, but this serial killer has got a motive. He only kills people who are also killers.
So in a way, he's a good guy.
And in a way, before Breaking Bad made us try and like a bad character, Dexter was doing that.
Well, Sopranos was doing that.
And Sopranos, yeah.
Doing that before.
Can you learn to like even the worst type of person, a serial killer? My criticism of Dexter would be that it can be too networky, a huge changey series to series.
Arguably, it went on too long.
No way.
Arguably.
Didn't go on long enough.
It peaked at season 4.
What are you talking about?
Downhill.
Where do you get this nonsense? The last couple of series are brilliant. When Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck joined the crew. And it's brilliant.
If you ask me, it
No one's asking
off.
You.
Someone is.
I love Dexter, and I am standing by it.
I like Dexter.
World famous. But yes, in between series, often you would get complete changes to characters, to situations. People who are married suddenly become divorced. And you can really see that in order to get the next series, there's been some to-ing and fro-ing with probably the network who say, well, what's going to keep the interest up in this one? Interestingly, a similar thing happens in Prison Break, which I was talking about last week. So we're going to get back to Dexter in a moment. First of all, got some correspondence based on last week. Apparently, there was a big change between season 2 and 3 of Prison Break, which I was struggling with. I got lots of people emailing saying that I should continue with Prison Break. I'm now on the last series, and it is great. But certainly, between the two series, one key character was got rid of. And it turns out it's because the network said, what is the impetus for this guy to carry on? You have to get rid of somebody that he loves. And they got rid of somebody that he loves. Oh. But are they gone forever? That's the question.
Have you finished it?
I have not finished it. I'm on the last series now, and it's good. It's really good. Now, who did we get an email from? Jack sent us an email again, who said, quick update on things. I've watched the 4 episodes of Quantum Leap. Do you remember?
Jack!
We recommended to Jack.
He wanted to know where to go next in this sort of sci-fi journey of TV. He liked sci-fi stuff.
And he liked Chuck. And so we recommended Quantum Leap, a classic. We weren't sure how he'd take it because he's a lot younger than us. He's like in his late teens, early 20s.
It's a big risk to send someone down the Quantum Leap alley.
He emails, I've watched the 4 episodes, so I've followed the rule and I'm going to keep going.
Yeah!
Shall see if I get to season 2 when I've finished the first. A few points to point out.
The episodes
are really long. The first may be 2 combined, but it spanned 90 minutes and normally is 45, which is no more than a Doctor Who, but somehow feels like a long time.
Oh, you know, fair play to sticking with it that long. Yeah.
Secondly, it's not really gripping and I can't stop watching, which is okay, but I'm still interested to see where it's going. Yeah. I mean, Jamie pointed something out in the pub the other night, which was really, we should do another special episode in a few weeks that is about box sets that really were pre-box set world. Because the box set world kind of started with Sopranos or The Wire, okay, around that time. Maybe 24 you could class as the first
one.
Yeah,
The Wire.
Right,
yeah,
and before 24. That, you had TV series, which you can now buy as box sets. But what Jack's finding out is that Quantum Leap was made for a one-week-a-watch viewing. You had the same thing every week,
were very,
basically.
Yeah, like if you look back, there were very few TV shows pre 2001 that had like an on running plot.
Yeah.
Like an on running theme. Yeah. A lot of them were like, had the same sort of formula. Every episode end with a ending that's satisfying for the audience, not too much in the... I mean, Lost was sort of like a long-running plot.
Yes, Lost is one of the first
as well. Yeah, yeah.
But the Quantum Leap certainly doesn't do that, but then it actually does. The final episode of Quantum Leap after all those series, I think it's 99 episodes, really does. I mean, it's one of the best... I can't believe I didn't remember this when we were talking about endings. It's one of the best endings.
I can't even remember the ending of Quantum Leap.
Oh, man. He ends up sort of talking to God, but I'm not going to say any more than that. It's more of a symbolic thing. No. It's not actually God. It's not a Morgan Freeman character that turns up. I've not ruined anything there. But it really is quite a philosophical, brilliant ending to something that lasted a long time. Also, he's very excited because he's realised that Scott Bakula is in Chuck. Yes, he is. And he goes into some detail about what character he plays in Chuck, so I don't want to give him that away. He also says, how Prison Break. So last week I asked for help. I said, please help me get through Prison Break. Should I stick with it? I watched it and really enjoyed it. The first and second seasons were easily the best, though. I started to watch it again a while back and started something else midway through season three. That's definitely the troublesome one. Season four does kind of drag, but it's worth the watch and comes to a good ending. That's what I'm looking forward to, Jack. You've made me carry on. Thank you. There also seems to be a reunion party going on at the moment at the CW, because at least four of the main characters have been on The Flash or Arrow. Yes, they have regrouped. The Prison Break characters have appeared together as like cameos, which is exciting.
Really?
And now for space. I like it. I'd take it. Oh, yeah, because we said what box sets would you take to space? And Jack has contributed to that as well. I'd say I'd take It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because I've said before, it's pure brilliance. And The Walking Dead. Do I only get to take what's been released, or do I have some time travel ability? Easily my favourite show's going. Oh, you want to go into the future?
That's interesting.
All right.
That's interesting.
Sorry for the lengthy email. Never apologise.
But no, they're very good. And remember that you can still send us what you take with you if you were to go into space or just off on a desert island. What would be the designated, that have to be mandatory box sets you'd take with you?
Soon on the Box Set Pod, we are going to talk to writer of Lilyhammer, one of the creators of Lilyhammer.
Lilyhammer, brilliant.
What a story she's going to have, and we will have her on the podcast, possibly, oh no, not next week, because next week is the special. It's the director's commentary special. Oh, we're treating you. Two specials in a row.
Yeah.
Are we getting a bit overexcited too soon?
Very much so. You know what I was thinking? Maybe
week after that, Lilyhammer.
Maybe we should have done for our first TV watching together, Better Call Saul.
Nah.
Because everyone's loving it, getting into it. I'll tell
brilliant.
You what, I've watched the first four episodes and it's amazing. I think it's better than the first series so far of Breaking Bad. That's how good I think it's. Just brilliant.
It is brilliant.
I just love it. I also thought, just send a quick texter for everybody.
Email.
Let us know TV shows that started good and went bad.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. True Blood.
Yeah.
First series of True Blood, written by Alan Ball, who's brilliant, who did 6 Feet Under and American Beauty. Brilliant. You watch that first series of True Blood and tell me you don't love it. You watch season 5 of True Blood, it stinks to high heaven. Tell us TV shows started good, went bad.
Email us studio@theboxsetpod.com. Did I manage to find Dexter's house in Miami? Well, we'll come back to that in a moment. And we're going to be talking to Dexter's location manager, the man who's in charge. And Dexter really is about the location, Miami. We're going to be talking to him in a bit. The news, though, Jamie.
If you go to theboxsetpod.com/news, you'll see all the latest stuff I've popped on. First of all, AMC have released Mad Men finale photos. And there's a teaser trailer. I'm going to pop that up today as well. The Mad Men finale is up in April. There's some great photos. It looks very exciting. And apparently there is going to be a bit of a time jump. Because in the final series, you know, it's going to cover off a smorgasbord of issues.
Oh.
We're going to see where Don Draper ends up, I think, with his life.
Whoa.
So, very exciting.
I
Please
think
go.
He's going to end up an alcoholic He's smoked
already
too
an
much.
Alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah.
I want him to have some kind of redemption and maybe get back to his family and love his kids better. I
mean, he needs to end up in California. He's got to.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, don't worry.
You
got
to get. You
watch
get
Mad Men.
Next up on the boxsetpod.com/news, you'll see the latest trailer for M Night Shyamalan. Let's talk about him for a second.
Shyamalan.
He's in a number of films. Sixth Sense, which is great. After that, he did Unbreakable. Great. He did another one that I love. It's called Lady in the Water, but it got slated. He's in a lot of bad films. In fact, he's been on a really ropey run, so he's heading to TV.
Right.
And on there, you can see the trailer for his latest TV show. It's got Matt Dillon as a secret agent who investigates a mysterious town in Idaho. It looks like it's going to be a bit of a twist fest. But it looks quite interesting as well, so check that out, see what you think. Rowan Atkinson coming back to TV as well.
Is he?
Rowan Atkinson is going to be doing an ITV detective show. He's going to play a French detective. So far, it's going to be a couple of TV movies, but I reckon if it becomes successful, because it's based on some novels, he might actually be a recurring
comedy.
No, I think it's going to be a drama.
No!
TV drama detective show with Rowan Atkinson in it. He's doing a David Jason, basically, with a touch of Frost.
Oh, no. I mean, wouldn't it be great if he was playing like Clouseau? He'd be brilliant at that.
Superb. Also, Broadchurch news. We shouldn't forget that Broadchurch ended this week. The finale, I watched it. There's a lot of mixed reaction to season two. There ain't no doubt about it. They made mistakes. They made some big mistakes. Mm. Some of the plots were dragged out. Some of the plots we didn't care about. I thought they tried to end it okay, but they are coming back with a series three. And what we want is them to move on to a new plot. If they do that in season three, and that is the suggestion coming from the head creator Chris Chibnall, then we're going to go in the right direction, because the characters are good. The detectives David Tennant and Olivia Colman are superb. Broadchurch coming back. Howell still not watched it yet.
Nope.
Yeah, you got to get your game face on, Howell.
I know.
Lastly, David Simon, the writer of The Wire, the creator of The Wire, and Tremé. He is working on a new TV series, and it's set in New York in the 1980s. Check this out, Howell. Do you know there's actually a place in New York called Yonkers?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that was a real place. I thought it was like another term for New York. Like, oh, look at you, Yonkers.
Oh, right.
Anyway, there's a place in New York called Yonkers, and that's where he's going to set his latest TV show. It's going to be about the housing desegregation that took place and political turmoil and social turmoil that fell out from the 1980s.
Well, that's a sell.
Yeah, well,
go and see the network.
Check this out.
It's about housing degradation.
The reason I said that is because David Simon himself has even admitted that he thinks nobody's going to watch this show, but he's still going to get to make it, which I think is brilliant. HBO are making it with him. Check out the cast is brilliant for this show. Oscar Isaac, if you've not seen him in some brilliant, he's in Llewyn Davis, Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh, he's great, yeah.
He's a great actor. Winona Ryder's in it.
Mm.
Alfred Molina's in it, who played Octavius, Dr. Octavius in Spider-Man 2, the last one. David Simon in New York, political. No one's going to watch it, apparently, but I'll be there, David. That's your box set news so far thus.
Let's Dexter. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So you're going to hear just a couple of minutes, 5 minutes of me recording myself in Miami. I love Miami. It's fickle. It's hard. But
sweaty.
It's very sweaty, beautiful, hot.
Plenty of sweaty balls in the
Cuban beach. That's enough. Cuban beach, hard American city, all in one.
Humid.
Perfect setting for a serial killer. It is the perfect setting because it's got everything, the pressure, the darkness, all that.
Yeah, but even though you're watching this very dark show, all you sit there thinking is, I want to be in Miami.
Yeah.
In a way, it's a lot like Broadchurch in the way that you kind of sit there with Broadchurch. Even though they're all miserable, you go, I want to live in Broadchurch.
Well, that's the key. I want to be Dexter. I want to live in Dexter's apartment. You're a bit disappointed if Dexter considers moving out of that apartment, which he may or may not do in the series. And this apartment you see at the beginning of Dexter, he walks out of the door on the credits at the beginning of every show, having made his breakfast in a very serial killer way, and he walks down the internal balcony of this block of apartments.
The apartment is as much a character as Dexter himself.
Well, Miami is as much a character,
yeah.
Definitely. And a key to that you think of is that blue facaded Art Deco style apartment. And that's what's great about Miami as well, is all the Art Deco.
You know, I was thinking about Miami, is it's kind of like Cuba, isn't it? It's a bit like it got a bit of a Cuban feel.
I just said
feel.
That 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, I didn't hear it, Howell.
Yeah. don't expect a big finale to this. This is essentially me trying to find Dexter's apartment. If you just Google it, if you just look online, it is actually fairly difficult to track down. But let's do it. Let's find out and see if you can... I do get the burps at one point with nerves, so I apologise for that. You can really hear the point at which I start to get nervous. So let's listen to me in Miami. Welcome to Miami for the Box Set Pod. I am here with my wife, Sarah. We are driving into Miami. It's such an exciting place. The huge skyscrapers and the big port that is so famous from Dexter, and radio that plays just classics every station. We've got Donna Summer on at the moment. Is this Cake Out in the Rain?
MacArthur Park.
Oh, this is a song. Someone left my cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it, because it took so long to bake it. We're going to find Dexter's house. And I never had that recipe. To Dexter's Miami. Yeah! All right, let's go to South Beach, baby. So we've been in Miami a couple of days, and I think Miami gets criticised for not having any culture. And the thing is, that's probably because where we're staying on South Beach, which is where the tourists stay, it's beautiful. It's the old Art Deco thing, but it's basically one long road, Collins Avenue, which we're driving on now to go and find Dexter's house, and then there's South Beach, the actual beach.
We saw 50 Cent then.
We did see 50 Cent pull up in a car, and that's the kind of place it is. On the strip, the South Beach strip, it is totally party town, and it's easy to just go, this is vacuous, empty people, but it's not, it's party town, it's always been like that. This is where, like, the Mambo started. This is the place where Cuban music met American shores and turned into the party place, the best party place. There's a bar called Mango's, which is a lot of fun, and you spend a lot of money in there, and they dance on the tables, and it's brilliant. So we've had a good night, and the weather's been quite wet. It's been quite rainy. We had a bit of time on the beach, and we've burnt to death. And now we are driving down Collins Avenue towards Bay Harbor Islands. We're heading towards Dexter's house, and having read all the stuff online, we don't hold out much hope. Hopefully, you're going to hear some form of payoff, though. Okay, here's what's just happened. We've driven up and down the road that we think the apartment's on. We pulled into a couple of places that looked like it because it had the same sort of blue and white Art Deco sort of out thing design. We got out of the car, we took a photo of where we thought it was, but it didn't seem quite right. And then we just carried on driving up and round it, and we've come to this place. I have just got out of the car, and I think this is it. There are no trespassing signs. I'm just coming up to the fence now. This is it. I can see it. Oh, this is so cool. I am looking at Dexter's apartment. I'm doing it. I've seen it. I've done it. Michael C. Hall walked down there every day in my life when I needed a serial killer in my life, because I needed to get through some tough times at work, and I needed to imagine that I had a secret life. That TV show got me through, and this is where it was actually filmed, and I watched it every day and thought I would love to go to Miami, and now I am here and I am looking at it, and I am scared because it's very quiet and there are a lot of signs up saying I shouldn't be here. I'm going to get back in the car with my wife.
What's around?
Just here outside Dexter's house, the Bay Harbor Club. It's now been turned into flats. Another couple have turned up from the other side of the world as well, looking for Dexter's apartment, tugging at the fence that says no trespassing, trying to see over it. Very amusing on a very stormy day, a lot like the last episode of Dexter. I'm getting very nervous. We're going to have to get out of here. Clearly the residents don't want people here. There's a lot of no trespassing signs.
but it is possible through the gap in a fence and by hanging over the edge of some water to see Dexter's apartment. Where have you come from?
Italia.
Italia, and you come... How long ago did you finish watching Dexter?
3 years ago, probably.
3 years ago. And is this exciting for you to be here?
Eccitante per te stare qui?
Yes.
She came here just for this reason.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, me too, mostly. Do you feel slightly like we're going to get arrested?
No. Why? I mean...
There's a lot of signs up. They don't seem to want us here. There's a lot.
Maybe if we go there for the interview, it's better.
Yeah, shall we? Shall we move out of the way? Breaking Bad t-shirt. So you do Breaking Bad as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good, good. What was your favourite series of Dexter?
Qual è la tua stagione preferita?
The fourth.
And that is that the...
Trinity
Killer.
The Trinity Killer.
Yes. Have you done any other locations, any other Dexter
locations? Not yet. No. We have just arrived.
Right. We're just arrived. Have you got more to do? Do you know of any others?
No.
There's the South Beach where they do a lot of the shots, just in front of the Cleveland Hotel. Should try there. That's good.
Should go now. Should go
that's,
right
that's
now.
Good. That's good. Yeah, anyway, it's good to see you.
Yeah, good
and,
to see you.
Lui ha fatto migliori.
Lui fa un'intervista lavora fa. No.
What are your names, by the way?
Giovanni and Agnese.
Agnese.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
It started raining. it's like the last episode when. What did you think about the end?
An horrible end.
No, bad end.
Really horrible.
Not happy with the end. So back in the car, the rain's beginning to come down. There is a little car park just opposite that you can pay to park in. So it is kind of a public place and then you can go walking the dog or whatever. But the overriding impression that you get here is, you know, on that building and on the building opposite, there's a lot of no trespassing signs. And clearly they've had a lot of interest, or clearly there's a few people who aren't happy about the interest, which is a shame, really, because you'd think they'd be proud, I suppose. Maybe they are. Maybe, I mean, we just turned up for 10 minutes and there was another couple there. I saw a couple of other cars going past, so maybe it's millions of people and that would annoy you if it was your house, I suppose. But if you do visit here, it's worth a drive past, I suppose, and don't trespass. But that's it. No big end, I'm afraid. Michael C. Hall wasn't here to walk into, but I've come a long way, about 2,000 miles, and I can say now, I have found Dexter's apartment, even if I couldn't touch it. I may have climbed some stairs in the building opposite and had a look from a good vantage point, but I can't quite remember whether I just did that or not. Back to the studio.
There you go. So I think we can put that down as a success.
You pansy.
What?
Come on, Howell.
What?
You didn't get in the house.
Jamie.
Howell, what would I have done if I was over there and I'd found Dex's house?
We'll ask Terry Gus.
I would have scaled the fence.
No, you wouldn't.
You know I would.
America has guns. Miami is not shy of guns.
That's a fair point.
Scaling a wall that has about 5 do not trespass signs on it, when you've read online that apparently they've got the cops on speed dial, you're not going to do it.
You should have got your Italian friend, instead of wussing out, taken your Italian friend and got into that building. That's Dexter's building.
All I wanted to do was see it. Someone lives there. I'm not going to go, like, knocking on the door.
What if they'd let you in, though? What if you'd knocked on that door? And what if they were lonely and they needed someone to chat to and you could have gone in the house and talked Dexter with them?
Let's bring in the man who worked on Dexter. His name is Terry Gusto, a brilliant name, and he joins us from Mexico. Please welcome to the Box Set Pod, location manager for Dexter, Terry Gusto.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, down in old Mexico. How's life in Mexico, Terry?
Well, I've retired after 26 years as a location manager in a house with an ocean view and loving it.
Terry, how old are you?
I just turned 66 in June.
You know what? You sound you've got
32.
Such a young voice. You've got a younger voice than me. You sound like a whippersnapper, Terry.
I feel like it down here now.
I bet. And 26 years at the job. Okay, we'll get back to the job in general in a bit, but are you surprised that I couldn't get to touch Dexter's apartment?
No, I'm actually surprised you probably weren't shot or set upon by big dogs. At least it should have toned down by now, but in the height of the season, you know, during the series, a lot of internet sites and people really searched out the locations and did sites so you could go to, you know, we didn't keep anything secret in L.A. or Miami, so... an incredible amount of people wanted to go and see where Dexter was, you know, where he killed people or where he lived or, you know, where he was. So yeah, it got a little frustrating, and we knew for the people, and, you know, people did what they needed to do.
I presumed that, yeah, it would have been pretty busy, but I thought that it would be like one or two residents that were particularly grumpy and the other residents were kind of okay with it. But from what you're saying, by the sound of it, they were under siege for quite a few years there.
Yeah, they were. I mean, pretty much for the length of the show. So that, you know, that's 8 years. So, you know, people come and go. So, you know, that's showbiz.
So how much was filmed in Miami?
Only the pilot was all done in Miami. And then we shot a total of 10 episodes or 12 episodes a season. So for the first 4 out of 12 in the first season, we shot half of them in Miami. After that, we figured out we didn't need to incur the expense and we could find everything else in and around Long Beach and L.A. and Marina Del Rey and San Pedro and in the L.A. environment.
I'm watching Prison Break at the moment, and the first series of Prison Break and the second series, they're kind of all across America. And then the third season, they're down in Panama. And then the fourth season, I was like, where are they going to be this time? Oh, they're in L.A. And it seems to be... is this a studio thing that they kind of go, hey, guys, can we keep it cheaper now?
Well, yeah, and it just depends on the look, you know. I mean, today's deal, it's all about economics, and it's always going to be about that. And for us, the second season, we took Michael before we started and took him to Miami for a week or so and shot him in his car and in his boat driving all around Miami. And then we cut that stuff into all the episodes.
Oh, right. And as long as he's got his kill vest on, then you can put it in any episode you want.
We shot him in all sorts of different costumes, you know, all sorts of different wardrobes, dozens and dozens of different wardrobes, and then figured out that into cut it into all the episodes.
So when you're doing something like that, how many of you are there? And you're there, even though you're the location director, so you have... What is your function in those situations?
To be honest, in Miami, zero.
Yeah.
We had the... It was a great lady who shot the pilot there who lives in Miami, and she knows Miami way better than I do, and she took care of all those logistics while I had to be in LA prepping for our new season.
So what does a location director do?
This is a job you learn by being on the streets and seeing how things work. It's all about logistics. They'll come to you and say, we want a bar, and you kind of get in it. Well, is it a biker bar or a yuppie bar? And they'll tell you. And then my job and my team's job is to go out and find 5 or 6 choices. Now, these choices are, one, creative for them, but two, also revolve around my needs, which are parking for crew, for trucks, places to cater, what permits look like, noise, railroad tracks, aircraft patterns, traffic patterns, pain in the butt neighbors, businesses, doing our homework ahead of time, so that when we present them with these locations, my department knows that we can make that shoot happen there without us getting our butts put in a ringer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Terry. How much easier did your job get when Google Earth came along?
It helps, but guys, it's boots on the ground. You know, you physically have to be there and look around, and it's location. So you have to physically, with your eyes and your senses and talking to people, look around. I mean, that's good. Location managers get an assist with Google Earth. Don't get me wrong, it's a huge tool now. But maybe I'm old school. Yeah. I like to look at it. I like to knock on some doors. I like to talk to the mailman, to the cop on the beat, you know, and say, hey, how is it around here? You know, is it high crime? Is it high this? Is it what's going on? Can I come in here for a week, you know, with 100 people and trucks and everything and coexist? Am I going to have problems with neighbors, with businesses?
Yeah.
Who can we do business with? Can we do business, or is it going to be a nightmare? The only way you can do that is for you and your team going door to door and talking to people and making sure that people are on the same page as you are. You know, you're bringing in a dozen trucks and 100 people.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You've just given me a great idea for a film. Terry Gusto is a location manager and he's retired and he's moved to Mexico.
Yeah.
And someone comes to him and says, Terry, we need you for one last job. And Terry says, I'm old school. I do it old school.
Yeah.
They say, Terry, we're ready for that. And Terry has to be brought in old school.
I'll tell them there's going to be a big laundry list, and if they meet the laundry list, they can buy my old butt.
But so, a great twist on it will be that Terry is checking out whether they've got some annoying neighbours.
Yeah.
Finds out one of the neighbours is a killer.
Oh,
that's a plot line.
There you go.
He shows up, you open the door, and his whole house is framed in a plastic wrap, and you start to think what's going on.
So when you were filming the shots of Michael C. Hall, did you have any contact with Michael C. Hall himself? Did you get to know the man? Here's my theory about Michael C. Hall, that he's quite a serious man.
He's one of the best people I've ever worked with. He's very serious. He takes his craft incredibly well. He always, I mean, the ultimate professional, knew his lines, input to writers, to everybody on set, everything from A to Z he had input in. But bottom line is, you know, great to the crew. If I needed him and some people, onlookers, wanted to meet him or get an autograph at the appropriate time, Michael was always willing to do that. For people around us. So ultimate gentleman, ultimate professional, really one of the top guys I've ever worked with. So and a brilliant actor, I think. Just brilliant in his acting.
Oh, that's so good to know, because I got the feeling that he was... I knew that he'd be very committed to his craft and all of that stuff. I just worried that what came with that was someone who didn't have a sense of humour.
No, totally the opposite. But, I mean... You didn't interrupt, and none of us did. I mean, when he came, he was ready, especially on I hate to say it, on killing days, you know. it was serious stuff.
Yeah.
But he always would, if we talked to him ahead of time and said, you know, the neighbors or the owner of the house or the business would like a photograph with you, would that be okay? You know, he said, yeah, at the right time or at lunchtime or whenever. Yeah. I never had him tell my guys, my department, no, he wouldn't do anything. It could take time. People needed to wait. It was on Michael's time, and we didn't interrupt his acting
process.
Time.
Yes.
But otherwise, he was great, and he always was really good with everybody.
That's great.
Was the hardest, as far as your career goes, what's been the hardest job you've had as a location manager?
Boy, it varies by subject. Way back when, in the old days, when we were doing movies of the week, I shot at in New Orleans at Mardi Gras, which was very difficult.
Oh.
Wheeling and dealing around Mardi Gras. At a point in time, I we were there for the crew wasn't in town yet, and I had negotiated with the town, with the mayor and police, to have 8 filming towers during Mardi Gras day for the parades, with camera crews on the towers at major intersections to film parade stuff, which took some doing.
Wow.
And I did a great ski movie up in Lake Louise in Canada and Banff that, you know, took a lot of logistics because most days it was anywhere from 10 to 20 degrees below zero. So the logistics of stuff like that, where you're dealing with all the permits, all the parking, all the police, all the fire, all the catering logistics. You have to do your homework, do your research. 90% of the job is pre-planning, and then you have that 10% of what's going to come out of the woodwork at you.
It sounds daunting, but at the same time, particularly for a man, I think, it sounds like the best job in the world, because there's some creativity, but then it's got all of that stuff in there that is what makes a man want to pack the trunk of a car really well, the logistical stuff, you know, it seems to have that real obsessive end to things as well. Did you get bored of it?
No, because it's all, every script you got to remember is a new adventure. You know, every script is a new show, a new deal that you're looking for. So it's new people, new places, new things. I mean, the people you should have a conversation with one of these days is the guys. You know, I've got a good friend, Ilt Jones, so I think it's from England, actually, Ilt, who does all the Transformer movies, man.
Oh, really?
I mean, he's got a team of 10 to 15 people. And they're traveling all around the world doing this stuff. These guys go to war every day, you know, with an army. They're moving an army. They're moving 30 trucks and 300 people, 300 crew. So they could be operating at a few million dollars an hour. So they can't afford for anything to get in the way of that production.
Yeah, the risks are so much higher, aren't they?
So in that sense, yes. How many times did you have to pay off organized criminals to help you?
Yes.
Yeah. it's a few times. It depends where you were. Most of the time, I would go in ahead of time, especially in LA or some other cities, and I would have sit downs through negotiations with gangs or certain elements, and sit down and say, hey, we're no threat, but we're here to do a job like anybody else. I'm more than willing to put some of your guys on. I'm more than willing to feed some people, or if you guys are, you know, some of these guys are taking care of people or whatever, you got to figure out what the deal is on the street, and then you look to see if it's worth dealing with, and then you make the adjustments.
Has anyone ever put a gun on a table in front of you and said, "You want to come to my town?"
It hasn't gone that far, but I've been at places with people shooting where we've been close enough to see people gunned down.
Oh, my goodness me. Wow. Where was that, Terry?
In L.A. Once, and actually in when we were up in Oakland, too. So, you know, but that's where you're shooting. You know, that's life on the streets. And, it can happen in any city, any neighborhood, anywhere.
Yeah, you know, and if you need a shot in that neighborhood, if you need to make a scene in that neighborhood, then yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So that's twice in my 26 years, and I'll you know, that was plenty.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to leave the entire country and go to Mexico? Was it one of these?
Yeah, what happened, Terry?
Well, I actually started looking a long time ago with a friend of mine, knowing that our retirement dollar wasn't going to go far, and spend a couple years traveling to Costa Rica and Guatemala and Nicaragua and Panama and the Yucatan. And some friends told me about this town, and we checked it out, and we came, we saw, we bought, we built.
Wow.
And I've got another piece of land right next to me that I'm getting ready to build another house for myself and a couple condos for sale. If you're
for me and Jamie,
up for a vacation condo, guys, I got one for
you. Terry, book me in there straight away. Terry, I wonder, do you ever sit back now in Mexico, pull out the Dexter box set, pop it on, and are you able to enjoy it? Or do you just sit there going, man, that location was a nightmare. That took weeks.
I consider myself really fortunate. I'm retired and where I am now because of the years I put in. And to be honest, the money I made and the pension fund and my health and welfare through my union, I've been a Teamster all my life. That's the union that we're in. So I'm incredibly grateful that I was at the right place at the right time, got in and had been able to do this and have the adventures and the travel and the experiences that I've had. So I've got no down about this, you know, but to be really honest, and I've told people that have been in touch with me, I look out my window right now and I see the ocean and the palm trees and I look at my pool and my dogs running around and, guys, I don't miss anything.
I bet you don't.
I'm a mile from the main surfing beach, and it's one of the 10, you know, top surfing beaches in the world. So I got kids coming in from all over the world here all the time, and knock on wood, I was fortunate, and I played my cards right.
You are literally living... You are like Andy Dufresne at the end of The Shawshank
Redemption. Yeah, Zawataneo.
You're working on your boat, aren't you, Terry?
Yeah, well, I walk in my pool every day and work on my exercise and my tan and listen to Janis Joplin or Oscar Peterson and Anne at the same time. So someone's got to do it. And it's me.
Oh, Terry, you are living the dream. Yeah. I like traveling to America. I'm a big fan of both coasts and Miami. And you've traveled across America. So apart from outside of location manager, in terms of just personal taste, if you didn't live where you live now and you had to live somewhere in America, what's been your favorite city? What's the one that you've gone, oh, that I would love to live there. I could do that. Is it New Orleans? Is it Hawaii, is it New York?
I'm afraid I'm a bit of a West Coast guy, so I would look at Portland or Seattle. I'm also cursed. I surfed when I was younger, and then I broke my back when I was 17, so I couldn't surf anymore, but I've got the bug. But as long as I can fly from Portland or Seattle to a few weeks to Mexico or Hawaii and I can get my son in, or I become a snowbird and it's, wintertime in Mexico and summer times in Seattle or Portland in those areas, I'd be a real happy camper too.
Wow, that sounds good. Great. Lastly, I'm trying to ask you, Terry, as far as, I know it was just a job as well, but were you also a fan of Dexter?
Oh, yeah. Incredible. The books were great. Once I read the books, I was hooked. And the writing and the guys stayed, I thought, really true to the original books and stuff. And he was great, man. He was this dark crusader, this dark hero. Mm. You know, it was, and you got to get, man, it was okay for this guy to be killing people. That's quite the deal. Mm. That's quite a to make a series successful. Yeah. You're rooting for this guy to kill people. Injustice.
And do you think there'll ever be a season 9?
No, I think it's run its course. I would love to see, and there's always talk about a feature film. Ooh. And I think if someone came up with the right script for Michael, that he might do that, but it would have to be a really brilliant piece of writing.
Yeah, because he likes things being good.
Yeah, or if he participated, he worked with the writers a lot. They ran stuff by him. He had his finger in the pot.
Terry, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll try and call on you again. If not, on the podcast in person.
We're coming round, Terry. We're coming round.
Yeah, we're coming to see you, Terry. Look out. One final thing, Terry. Would you take a photograph once this conversation's finished of what you can see right now? Email it to me and I'll put it on the website.
I'll take it from my front porch looking out. Okay. And you guys will book flights shortly after that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Terry Gusto. Oh. Terry, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, guys. Have a great day.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Nice guy.
Well, I think the first thing to mention is that guy did not sound 67.
I know. That's because he's 66, isn't he?
Well, it scares me to think that he sounds young. I mean, that shows you that he's lived a very good life.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Because it's different, Jamie. It's not like us getting stuck in one thing.
I'm going to sound haggard.
You already do.
Rough as a butcher's dog.
You already do. He's what a guy. What a living the dream. Nice to know Michael Hall's got a sense of humour. Nice to know there could be a Dexter movie. That's the headline from today.
Yeah.
And also, hey, how about that little... scoop.
I tell you what, the gangster
stuff. The organised crime.
Because
thing.
When
I'm
you said
joking.
That, I knew. I You're thought that's a joke, and I thought he was playing along. And I was like, "Oh yeah, of course we have to do with gangsters." And then he actually says, "No, yeah, we did actually deal with gangsters." And you're like, "I actually thought that was because I knew in the film Godfather they had to.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When they were making Godfather, they had to deal with the mafia. But that was 70s. Like you don't expect to.
Yeah, yeah.
That's scary, isn't it? Well, anyway, wow.
Next week. On the box set pod, it is the Red Wedding director's commentary. This is going to be unique. Is it the red one we're doing, yeah?
Yeah, Game of Thrones, Red
so,
Wedding.
If you've never watched Game of Thrones, we're doing this podcast for you next week. If you have watched Game of Thrones, we're doing it for you as well. And that is the challenge. Next week, we are going to do a director's commentary for something you can't see, and we're going to do it without spoiling anything.
No spoilers. That's the Jamie and Howell guarantee.
It's the challenge. It should be fun. Yeah. So get your episodes of Game of Thrones ready. Find the Red Wedding. What season is it?
Season three is the red one.
It's not like you're not going to be able to pause it next week and make sure you've got it. So we'll tell you at the beginning of next week. So at the beginning of next week, see you then. In the meantime, if you want to email us, studio@theboxsetpod.com. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Let's go find some gangsters.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.